All right, here we go. Hey, co-op listeners, this is Lynn Coles here with In Touch Interviews. Greg Ciotti and I at co-op have been working on this program since about April of 2020. And the purpose of In Touch Interviews is to bring to light and to co-op listeners information about nonprofit organizations and informal and formal groups of people, neighborhood associations and individuals, businesses, and so forth. Just any kind of community, really, where people are doing really, really good work to help keep, make sure, I'm sorry, to help to make sure that their community members are stable and healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. And as we near the higher vaccination rates and whatnot in Central Texas, we're excited to continue this program going. From the feedback that we've gotten from the community, and from the station itself and from listeners, to help, make sure that people know what kinds of organizations and resources there are in the Central Texas area for when folks need a little help with one thing or another. So we've done interviews with the Health and Human Services Department about the mental health hotline that they started up after COVID. We've done interviews with different nonprofits, like Con Mi Madre was a recent one, with individuals and artists who have talked about their times during COVID. And so today I'm really, really stoked to speak with an organizer, the education coordinator from Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera. Her name is Jamie Knatzer, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the organization today, what they do, and how people can interact and engage with the organization if they'd like to. So, Jamie, thank you so much for participating today. I'm really excited to share some info about Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera with co-op listeners.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with a little bit of background. How did you find the organization? You're the education coordinator there. Have you worked in education for a while? Give us a little bit about just who you are.
Well, I was invited to participate in a delegation. The main activity that we do is generally take 3 to 4 delegations per year of people, generally from the United States, down to the border with Mexico, and we cross the border and visit people who are working in the foreign-owned factories there, also known as sweatshops or maquiladoras. And I was in Guatemala with one of our founders, Judith Rosenberg, and she was saying, "You've got to come on a delegation." So I started out as a delegate and then moved on to a delegation leader later on, and then also came back on staff again in 2014, and then again this year. So basically, as the education coordinator, I'm organizing a webinar for May 1st, just to kind of highlight the conditions at the border right now. And the conditions in sweatshops are generally not good, but during COVID, there's been other safety concerns, like the factories not providing personal protective equipment to the workers. And so those are some of the things that they're going to talk about. And then we'll also kind of cover a little bit of labor law. And so generally, we would be taking delegations down to hear it from the workers themselves. But because of COVID, we haven't been doing that. So this is our alternative to the delegation at this time. And we may organize a longer online event that would take the place of the delegation as well later on in the year. And this is kind of our little test in the water to see, doing education online instead of in person like we would normally do.
And I imagine the Women Maquiladora Workers webinar is going to be awesome, but there is something very unique about seeing a person's living and working circumstances with your own eyes, like smelling the smells, feeling the feels, walking on the ground. Like those things are so important. I imagine that it's been a really difficult year for organizers like you with Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera, who are so used to doing that, like, really hands-on work.
Yeah, we love to make the personal connection. We visit the homes of the workers, and we have a meal with them, and we go to a meeting of one of the unions, and we just do a lot of different things that at the end of the delegation, which is usually a weekend, we connect. We all sit in a circle and talk about, you know, with the workers and talk about how, what we learned and just what we shared in the delegation. And so it is very different, but we're happy to be able to highlight the presenters from Mexico online, you know, as an alternative to this. So we're happy to be able to continue the work. However, we're going to do it. We're going to keep educating.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, you know, even just as difficult as it has been for organizers and community members to stay engaged during this time, like during shutdowns, when, you know, the bans on even being in public in some places, but, you know, businesses have shut down. It's been really, really amazing to see how people have really, like, used technology and used, like, even things like phone trees are coming back, you know? Like, people are really finding ways to stay connected. And I just, like, I just really want to celebrate the fact that Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera is still, like, you know, engaging their communities and keeping people in touch with one another during, you know, an unprecedented global pandemic, which I don't think that we can say enough times, even though it's starting to become like a little bit normal now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be so excited to be able to take people down to the border again when we can.
Yeah. So you mentioned the delegations, and I know there's also connected to Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera. And actually, before we go there, would you mind just saying in English what Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera means?
Sure. It means Austin, so close to the border. And a lot of times there's events that happen in the United States that are big events, but they might be in New York or, you know, Washington, and we just want to highlight the fact that, you know, it only takes about 5 or 6 hours to get to the border with Mexico, and we are close and closer than we are to some of the other states in the United States. So yeah, just that they are a part of our community, and we have partners in Chiapas, Mexico, which is quite a bit farther down there, and then we have partners in San Antonio as well. So They're all still a part of our community, and we still connect with them as well. So
yeah, I was just listening to what was it? I think it was on NPR, but it was the Economist podcast. It was like the Economist Radio Hour, and there was a thinker, a speaker, I guess he's probably an academic or something, but he had just written a book about nearby travel and how necessary it is for people when they think about the communities that they're going to contact and the folks who they're going to engage with when they go travel somewhere. You know, like, part of the reason that we do that is to, like, meet other people and have unique experiences that are not like the ones that we have at home. This author was just saying, like, we have to remember that, like, traveling nearby is also possible. Like, we don't have to go to Europe. We don't have to go to Southeast Asia or Australia to have new experiences. And I just feel like that's a really wonderful part of what Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera is. It's like, reminds people that, like, you know, these diverse communities are here and are like really close by and are parts of our own communities too. And, you know, are deserving of recognition and engagement as well.
Yeah, and since you mentioned that, occasionally we will take a delegation where we don't cross the border, and we will visit a detention center and actually go in. And a lot of the people in detention centers have committed no crime.
Yeah.
And they've crossed the border and been put in a detention center to wait for their asylum process. And,
right.
We have gone in, talked with them, and things like that. And for them to know someone on the outside cares, you know, because it can feel very lonely inside there, and and they incarcerate them for much longer than they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And so we do connect with detention centers in Texas as well.
Yeah. I know that there have been, I think maybe it was like Grassroots Leadership who was doing some work keeping folks in touch with I think it was women at the time. I think it might be a gender diverse facility now, but in the Hutto Detention Center, there was, I remember there was a lot of work done there too. So do y'all coordinate with them, or do you coordinate with other organizations that are doing work specifically to do outreach to, you know, asylum seekers and whatnot who are already in the U.S. or right now, or who are waiting across the border?
I would say we should probably share some volunteers.
Gotcha.
But we don't have a lot of like direct coordination because our work is more education based.
Yeah. Gotcha. This is a pretty general question, but how is everybody? Like, how are the women who you go visit with and work with in the garment facilities or sweatshops in Mexico? How are folks doing?
Well, I think in general they talk about having trouble meeting their basic needs.
Yeah.
The last time I went on a delegation, they were making about $60 a week, working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. And that may have gone up a little bit, but typically it doesn't go up very much. And so a lot of times they just talk about, this is our grocery list, this is our supplies list, and this is how much we make. And as you can see, that doesn't cover it. But in general, from COVID, I think just the lack of personal protective equipment, you know, they've had to fight for that and fight for their own safety. And then our partners in Chiapas, who are Colo Mayateek, an indigenous-led women's weaving collective, and they have said just the price of food has skyrocketed during the pandemic. So just the different global economic situation has just caused different things that you may not expect during the pandemic. And
right.
it isn't all about COVID, but it could just be about like, where, you know, rice has tripled in price or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what we've heard from them.
Man. Yeah. Those big like economic shifts that are felt in, you know, of course, like the lives of everybody, like the day-to-day, you know, cost of rice and so forth. Even, you know, we saw it, the cost of gas was rising within the last couple of months too. Wow. So how would you say, I mean, this is a general question too, but how do you see things moving forward? Like, you know, a lot of people have become aware over the last, even the last, you know, 6 months or so of the ways that the pandemic has differently affected various communities, and specifically how it has hit communities of color and Mexican-American, Hispanic, Latinx communities with a lot more effect than other communities. So I just wonder, do you see the attention to organizations like Austin Tan Cerca de la Frontera who work with these communities directly? Do you have any kind of like insights for moving forward, I guess?
Well, I think equitable access to the vaccine is a really important topic.
I think
a lot of countries haven't had the opportunity to start vaccinate as much of their population as we have, and we have a lot of privilege here to have access to the vaccine.
Yeah.
And so there are movements, like global movements, that we're a part of and other organizations are a part of to just make sure that the vaccine is distributed to all countries, essentially, because we are all connected.
Yeah.
And also moving forward, they're going to continue, you know, doing what they do. And especially our partners in San Antonio and in Chiapas are vendors at our Women and Fair Trade Festival. So we're going to figure out how to make sure that they can still sell their wares at the, you know, towards the end of the year when we start shopping for the holidays and stuff like that. Just that some of that can be directed towards these women-led cooperatives in the purchases of these fair trade items. So, you know, we'll keep moving forward doing what we do, however, you know, we can do it at that time.
Yeah. That is so important for people to remember that, you know, your money goes places. And one place where it can really help is when people are making those kinds of like ethical decisions about things that they're buying and making sure that the communities that they're supporting with their dollars are ones that are doing the right thing for their people.
Exactly.
Well, This is, it's been such a pleasure. For anybody who's interested in signing up for the webinar that happens on May 1st, that is the Women Maquiladora Workers webinar. That is happening at noon on May 1st. And the registration site is available at ATCF, that's like Austin Tancerca Frontera, ATCF.org. And then also we will link to that on the co-op website and share it on our social media too, so that we can help get the word out. Jamie, thank you so much for speaking with me today and for sharing information about this incredible organization. And, yeah, we'll be looking forward to the time when folks can participate in those delegations again and go down and, do, you know, direct engagement with these workers in Mexico.
Thanks for helping us get the word out. It was fun.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye.